Anybody think it's interesting that the Colts, their symbol is a horseshoe and their quarterback's named Luck? Anybody notice that? Is that just a coincidence? Or?
Does that keep you up nights?
Well, I mean, those kind of things.
Hard to defend, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. I mean, gee.
Does Andrew Luck as a quarterback keep you up a little bit later?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, we work where we have to work no matter what, but you know, the guy throws for 385 yards and 4 touchdowns last week. So, you know, he came out from being off last year. And now, you know, he looks like he's back where he was. But so, Wade, it's a challenge for us.
You heard the claims this week about the, you know, with the helmet hits on Cam, that you're playing dirty. There's a lot of questions about whether you play dirty. What do you say? What do you say to that?
Well, I think it's ridiculous. I mean, We've never taught that, and it's never happened before. We actually, if there's penalties that should have been called in the game, we get on our players that, you know, even if they weren't called, we get on our players because we don't want penalties. Nobody wants penalties. Penalties can cost you games. So we whether it's a holding penalty or an illegal chuck or any of those things, I mean, you got to play the game penalty-free if you can, because it gives you a better chance to win. There's no way that you would, you know, want those things to happen. And it almost cost us in the game, because it was an intentional grounding play that would have put them out of the game. Would have been over again. So we had one on a fourth and 21, and then we had another one where they had an intentional grounding. In both those situations, the game would have been over. So. You know, we teach against those things, certainly.
Do you and the players take it personally when people throw a word like that dirty?
Well, that was last week. I mean, we've gone on. We're moving forward. I think people know how we play.
But when you have mistakes, especially Chris's, do you have to say a lot, or is that one of those, like, when a quarterback throws an interception, they usually know?
It's any penalty that costs us, certainly first downs or opportunities to make plays, you know, it's a negative thing on defense. So we've got to think about those things. We've got to make sure those things don't happen, and especially in those situations.
Luck and Newton are similar in many ways. How are they different?
I don't know. I mean, both of them are. Yeah, Luck doesn't. They don't run designated running plays with Luck. That's the difference, really. You know, both of them are great quarterbacks, and both of them have been Pro Bowls, and one of them has been the MVP, and the other guy's starting out with four touchdown passes and 385 yards. So, but Luck can run with the ball, obviously, but his are scrambles. The other guy are designated running plays.
Luck is so hard to bring down, even when you have your hands on his jersey. Are there certain things you can teach to make sure you get him from in your grasp to down on the ground?
Well, yeah, that's the problem with those big, strong quarterbacks that can run. I mean, you know, they're hard to bring down. So, you know, we've got to first we try not to let them out of there. And that, you know, that's one thing. But in his situation, it scrambles. Like I say, he probably scrambles more than he did last year. He scrambled more than the guy last week. So.
They've gone 51 games without having a 100-yard rusher. Do you know what the product is of that, and does that change what you guys do defensively?
No, they ran the ball. They ran the ball well on us last year, I thought. I mean, we started out, they ran the ball well. You know, just like anybody, especially them, that Gore is a good running back. So if they give it to him enough times, you know, sometimes they don't hand the ball off that much. If you get the ball, you know, a guy like that gets the ball 30 times, he's going to make 100 yards. So I think it's part of it is they can move the ball without having to run it all the time. They've got a quarterback that can throw the ball and make plays and score points. They scored a lot of points last week.
Coach Harris said this week that the last matchup playing a lot or more zone than usual may have contributed to the success of the Colts wide receivers. What do you take from that last matchup? Harris said you guys played a little more zone than usual in the defensive backfield in the last matchup. He said that you might not do that this time around. What do you take from that?
I don't take anything from that. I mean, you know, we have a game plan. We play the things we think, you know, that are best for us. And hopefully we play zone and man real well and pressure people. So, you know, we'll try to do that. We'll try to do what we do. It worked out overall for us last year, I thought.
Coach, Hall of Fame put out their first list of players. Some guys that you've coached on that list, a lot of guys you've coached against. Do you think a Hall of Fame player can be coached? Can a guy be coached into the Hall of Fame, or is it just kind of do they have to have a certain amount of talent, or are some guys just really teachable that can get in there?
Well, let's see. I had Curly Culp and Elvin Bethea. They both went in the Hall of Fame when I first started, and Reggie White and Bruce Smith, they went in the Hall of Fame. So I'm pretty sure I coached them into the Hall of Fame. those guys are great. You know, those guys are the best players in their era, and hopefully coaching has something to do with it. I mean, you feel like you wouldn't be in coaching if you couldn't help a player get better. But when they have that kind of talent that make the Hall of Fame, they probably had a lot of different coaches and still made it. So it's a talent first.
You guys had DeMarcus on a little bit of a play count, but it still looked like he had a really good game. What did you see in his performance?
Yeah, he looked good. I mean, you know, I think we played him the right amount of time, but he certainly was effective. He had a sack and a half and pressured the quarterback. So, you know, hopefully we'll keep him in that situation.
Just limited him a bit, keep him fresher, you think, and more effective?
Well, that's what our overall plan was this year anyway for him. You know, it's more third downs and passing situations, those kind of things. You know, now we play him the first, three plays of the game to start out the game, but I think we'll continue to do what we're doing with him.
How's Justin Simmons coming along after one regular season game?
Rookie. You know, he made a couple of rookie mistakes, I thought, but came back from it. He wasn't involved that much. You know, their longest pass was 18 yards in the game, so, and he was mostly in the deep middle stuff, so, I mean, he wasn't really involved that much. You know, I mean, we trust him enough to play him on all our third downs, so I think, you know, we feel like he's got a good future.
Todd Davis, the defensive MVP, Coach Kubiak said, what'd you see from him?
He had 11 tackles and 11 unassisted tackles and 6 assists. So he had 17 tackles in the game. You know, I don't know who keeps stats upstairs, but they were way, way off. I mean, they gave him 6 tackles or something like that. But the guy made a lot of plays in the game. So, and that's why he was the MVP. He played really well in the ball game. And we're excited about it.
People missed. I mean, he was undrafted. New Orleans cut him 4 times his rookie year. And
good coaching, right?
Yeah, that's it.
And we set that up a while ago. Yeah. No, he's an instinctive player, and I said that early on. Remember in training camp, I said this guy's intense. You know, he's tremendous. He has tremendous intensity about getting ready to play and playing the game, and it showed in that ball game. I mean, he's relentless out there. That's part of our defense. That's the way we want to be, and he's one of those guys.
Colts went to the tight ends a lot against Detroit. When you pair that with the speedy receivers like Hilton and Dorsett on the outside, what's
he goes to whoever's open. I mean, that's what the really good quarterbacks do. But he feels comfortable with his tight ends, which not every quarterback does. So, he threw 3 touchdowns to the tight ends, but those other guys open up the game for him. They had, you know, had a 55-yard completion. They had, you know, those guys make big 31, 40, 50-yard completions. So, you know, he has both those weapons, and he's able to get the ball to him.
Vaughn saw a lot of double teams. Does he do a good job of handling, not getting frustrated when he has to be patient and wait for his
Yeah, he just goes out and plays. I mean, he plays his game. You know, I thought he played well in the ball game, and, you know, when the game was on the line, I mean, he gets a sack on third down that, you know, really puts him out of the game. We ended up giving him a penalty that gave him a first down, but, you know, you force him into 4th and 31. Well, he's the guy that made the play again. So, he's that kind of player. He makes big plays.
There's some of their third down conversions that they had were with Brandon Marshall off the field. How essential has Marshall become to that third down defense and coverage?
Well, I don't know if it was specifically because Brandon was off the field. I mean, they they obviously had a good football team, and we didn't play as well on third down as I thought. You know, obviously we didn't play as well as we did in the Super Bowl, but they made some plays. We didn't play as well technically as I thought we could, but again, they didn't have a lot of yards passing either. And they didn't have a lot of – they had one less point than we did, which was good.
Okay.
All right, thanks.
Thanks, Coach.